Hey guys, the show is about ready to start, but really quick, I wanted to grab your attention, tell you to have a pencil and paper ready. I have some very important information you're going to want to stick around for after the show regarding updated contact information, websites, and more. Everything's changed. Holy cow. What do I mean? Everything's ready to start. I gotta run. Stick around after the show and I'll get you filled in.
Welcome to this podcast. Get ready. Here we go.
GOST Radio proudly presents Random Illusions, the podcast where the occult community goes for its listening pleasure. I'm your host, Shasta Ray. Grab a cup of coffee, grab a cup of tea, or grab a glass of wine at the end of a long day if that's what you want to do. Kick back, settle in, and hang out with me for just a little bit while we chat it up about magic.
Just passing over the northern shore. Should be touching down an on-time arrival. Current weather, light winds, a few scattered clouds, temperature is about 84 degrees. Enjoyed having you on board this morning. Always appreciate your business and we'll fly with you again in the future.
Thank you for flying with me. We wish you a good normal journey. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Cabin crew, prepare for landing. Thank you.
Base. Oh my gosh, I am coming to you from a new location. I have flown to Paris, France, and I am sitting in front of the Eiffel Tower with our good friend Arnaud from the groups, and we're going to talk about some magic. It was the only way I could track him down is to have a glass of wine with him. Say hi to the listeners.
Hey.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It is so nice to be here today. And you've kind of got this project you've been working on, and I had to come here to get the information out of you. You've been a little elusive. What is this project you've been working on with a goddess?
So one of my concerns about magic is my link to the divine. So I worked a lot with liturgic magic and all those divine practices where I connect to gods. And I think we don't have access to the divine pure essence of creation. I think the gods that we name, such as Yahweh or even mythological god or goddess, are an expression of this divinity. So one of my concerns was to track down and to find some divine expressions that were very pure, very close to the source.
That's wonderful. A lot of us in the groups, I mean, I know you see it because you are in the groups all the time. We talk about the angels and the spirits and the Goetia, but we don't really talk about the gods and goddesses as much. We focus on one or two names, it seems like. So this is wonderful. What is, in your opinion, the difference between, say, like, I've put a lot of focus on angels. What's the difference between angels and then contacting like a god or a goddess, that kind of energy?
Well, it's simple. I believe that angels, demons, and many other spirits are subject to divine authority. So basically, as humans, we have the right to command spirits, and these beings are closer to our plane of existence than god, goddess, and all divine entities. So when you think about reaching to the divine, you are reaching to something very far, remote. And I believe that these beings are very powerful. And of course, you can't command them or approach them the same way that you approach angels or demons.
That makes sense to me. I don't even read this stuff. So I don't even know where to go to read it. This is fun. So how would a person approach this? Is there reference materials? Do you have to do something more ceremonial? I mean, like, I don't know anything about this area of magic.
Well, actually, it's like all magic. There are many, many traditions and a way to do it. For example, there is a book called Isis Magic about the goddess, the Egyptian goddess Isis, and Isidora Forrest, who is a priestess of Isis, she gives a whole system of four stage where you deepen your connection to the goddess, and it uses many techniques. Really, when you think about divine entities, there isn't just one way to approach them. There are many. And in Isis Magic, Isidora Forrest gives pathworking, meditative sessions, ritual like golden style or ceremonial ritual. So really, there isn't just one way. There is many, many ways to reach to a goddess or a god. And in my opinion, in my practice, I prefer to approach them with ritual, structured practice. I do, of course, some devotional practices who are simpler. For example, I did some devotion practice to Pazuzu recently. So I basically put a knee down and I call his name with a dagger because he's a very martial, aggressive energy. Mm-hmm. So devotional practice strengthens the bond to the divine. So it's a good way to get to know one spirit, one divinity. And the point I'm trying to make is that there are many, many ways. There isn't just one way to contact a divinity, but right. Always it's all about request. You can't command a divinity, obviously. But what's interesting is that there are power that it's really intense when you have that bond. If you don't have a bond to a divinity, your ritual will probably do nothing much. It's really about creating a bond before practicing practical magic with these divinities.
Do you find when you connect with a god or goddess, the energy is different or receiving information from them is different? Do you feel anything different or the way you work with them different? Is there anything very pronounced, or do you kind of feel like as humans we process it kind of the same?
I wouldn't say that we feel that we process the same, not at all, because I work with many different spirits, whether it is angels, demons, jinn, and divinities, obviously, but all of them feels different to me. Wow. Angels feel very pure, mm-hmm. Demons feels very massive and powerful, jinns feel ecstatic, it's very powerful and intense. Jinns are among the most intense spirit I encounter. And divinity, it's a mix of purity and massive, massive energy.
Wow, that's really interesting. And it's nice that you're here and you're able to kind of define this, because we don't hear this very often. Everyone wants answers. And it's so cool when I find somebody that has something new to share and something interesting that we just don't hear in the groups or in our books much. So what is your work with this goddess? How did you find her or find information on her? Who is she? Do you want to share about her?
So as I said previously, I was seeking a very pure expression of divinity. And among the oldest civilization of mankind, there is a Sumerian civilization. And they had a goddess who was a primordial goddess. So according to Sumerian mythology, she created everything, even the other gods.
Oh, wow.
And actually, she has a counterpart in a Babylonian mythology, which is very known, which is Tiamat.
Okay.
And the fact is, if we believe in the Sumerian mythology, then she is the highest ranking goddess. So I searched a lot about her, and there are sources that say that she had a husband and she created the universe with her husband. But other sources say that she was alone. She didn't have a husband. She was the primordial goddess that created all God and all of creation. So I was very interested in getting in contact with this goddess because I felt she could be a very pure expression of divinity, very close to the source. So first thing I had to do was to channel a ritual because I wanted to contact her with a ritual that was a mix of evocation and invocation, which meant that the goddess would be in front of me, but also in my own being.
Okay.
So it was a double ritual with two aspects, having the goddess talk to you and being here, and having the goddess in your own being. So that was what I really wanted. So I changed a ritual. So it's a bit confidential, but I have contact with a djinn in particular that teach me a lot of magic. And this djinn is able to deliver very potent secret of magic. I channeled names of other beings, I channeled world rituals, and I tested them. So it is always very powerful with his teaching. So I asked him, do you know how to get a ritual to contact Namu? He said yes. And we began to communicate and give me a lot of instruction. So the ritual uses several things. It uses key moments of your life. You have to remember these key moments and do a kind of practice where you how do I say it? You transform this moment into success. So it was a method that I didn't know about. And you have to open the four characters in the name of Namu with poor names that this djinn gave me. And at the end, you get a connection to the goddess. What's interesting is that I practiced this ritual because I'm really confident about the teaching of this djinn. It has been years that he is teaching me some magic in evocation, in channeling, and all of that has been tested by several people and got results with it. And Namu was maybe his most potent ritual he gave me. And what's interesting at first is that Namu did not grant me her presence. She said, wow. No, you're not ready.
Wow.
So I was a bit disappointed, but I didn't want to leave it at that. So I did the ritual again. She said I wasn't ready once again. But I said, am I being tested? And she replied, yes. So I did some introspection, and I found what I needed to be granted a presence. So I'm not going to disclose it, because that ritual might be something that I give to people at some point. Okay. And I believe that if I tell to people what they need to have the presence of Namu being granted, if I tell them, it's a spoiler, and it can even prevent people from getting this presence. Because if you find the information yourself, you would have integrated the knowledge she wants to give.
Right. Yeah. I think that's very wise. Everyone is going to have their own personal journey if they choose to work with her. So they need to do it on their own rather than something instant that they listen to.
Yes.
So that's more responsible, of course. How long ago did you discover her, and how long was the process before you were granted her permission to start working with her or get through that point of testing?
I heard about her years ago, and she always fascinated me. But there isn't a lot of information about her available on the internet. So I had to search a bit and found sources in English and French and try to compare and find what could help me. And the process of getting to know her in a ritual way is very recent. So I began a few weeks ago. So the process was to get this ritual the point of getting the presence of Namu is to experience divinity. I believe that if you reach a level of divinity in your practice, most spirits will obey you more easily, and you will get more tangible results.
That makes sense.
So the process was first to search information about Namu and train to know her in an intuitive way. And of course, once the ritual was channeled, I got to know her in a more factual and spiritual way. And when Namu granted me her presence, many things happened. The first thing that happened is that I had an experience that was really disturbing, but very, very elevating. I felt outside of the universe.
Oh, wow.
I've never got that in my magic before. And it makes sense, because if you think about it, Namu is a divinity, according to Sumerian mythology, who created the whole universe. So she had to be outside of the universe herself before creating it.
Oh, how fascinating.
So yeah, Namu was a really nice experience. I did several rituals with her, and the connection to divinity changed a few things in my life. I mean, I can feel her presence in myself constantly. She is always here.
Wow.
And I feel that magic has improved ever since I got in contact with her, and I'm going to keep going working with her, because I feel she's... How do I say it? She needs to build something through me.
Right.
So I'm communicating with her, asking her more information about what she wants me to do, and we'll see where that gets us.
This is so fascinating. I love hearing this. How is it? How do you feel like it's changed you on a personal level in your day-to-day life and how you are as a person to have connection to something so pure? Do you feel like it's made you a better person?
I feel the impact was mostly spiritual and magical, because I feel that my magic and my link to the divine and spirituality have increased, and I found that my magic works better. On a personal level, I mean mundane, maybe more self-confidence, that kind of thing. Wow. So it was really an experience that changed me, and I feel that every time I do this ritual, the connection increase exponentially. It's really powerful. So repeating this ritual is very important.
What's really fascinating to me about this is your mention of working with the djinn, and you have a couple that have helped you with this. And here again, this is something we don't hear about in the groups. It's just really not out in public eye, because I think people working on it don't always report back. They kind of keep it their own practice or whatever. So we don't hear about it, but how long were you building a relationship with the djinn before you got to the point where they helped you with this project? I mean, this sounds like it's something that's probably you've been working on for quite some time just to get to the point you're at, because you had to learn so much.
So to give a little bit of context, I started magic 10 years ago when I was at border school with friends. So it was very a collective experience. I was never alone in my practice. And Jin, I began to know them through the work of Ninava Shradak. So it's I know he's been on the show, and it's been really interesting to hear what he had to say.
He was so much fun. I'm going to have him on again. The two of you should be on together, because you know each other and you've worked together. People love hearing that, and they love hearing, you know, more than one person talk about various magic experiences and, you know, learning processes. So
I began to get into the work of Ninava Shradak 4 or 5 years ago, more than four years, I believe, around 4 years ago. And at first, I was pretty skeptical of many things Ninava said, because it seemed so impressive. And when I had my first physical manifestation with Jin, I was blown away, and I began to realize that all this stuff was really, really, how do I say it? I mean, it's mind-blowing, because I never had physical manifestation before working with the work of Ninava Shradak.
Wow.
So it changed a lot of things. And at some point, Ninava Shradak received instruction from the djinn to build a specific kind of ring. And he talked about it in his work, in his Facebook page. And some people felt drawn to this ring. So I was too. So I had dreams about this ring, very recurring. Very often I dream about this ring, so I decided to get it. And ever since that, a lot of things happened, and Ninava and I are exploring the magic of this ring. So yes, we are in contact, and I tell him my experience about my connection with this kind of work. And it's a bit confidential, because the djinn are very secret creatures. They don't want to say a lot. But once you get a connection with some of them, you can get some knowledge with them. So to get to the point of djinn teaching you magic, you have first to be able to perform evocation. And of course, having the presence of a djinn before yourself, so the djinn must appear and be able to communicate with you one way or another. And when the djinn communicates with you and you form a strong bond with the djinn, he can teach you knowledge. Oftentimes, they will add condition to them. You're not allowed to share everything. You're not allowed to do evil with him, with it. The djinn are a very special type of beings, because angels and demons, I think they are easy to handle, but djinn are much, much more difficult to handle. They have their conditions. And actually, in Rouhaniyat, that is the Arabic tradition of magic, it is a very common practice to enter a covenant with them, which is a pact. So ordering the djinn to do something can work, but it is accepted that the most suitable magic with the djinn is to enter a covenant and to have a mutual agreement. For example, I work a lot with celestial djinn, and celestial djinn will, for example, ask you to do some act of charity if you ask to manifest money with them. And this is the kind of things that Jin can ask you to do, or even devotion to the divine, blessings.
That's really interesting. Yeah. It's a side that we don't read about or we don't hear about.
Yeah. You know, the work of Nineveh Shadrach was really a milestone in my practice because it's where it got very, very intense. As I said previously, the presence of Jin is very ecstatic. It's really intense, intense, intense.
Mm-hmm.
And in Rouhaniyat, there is the idea that you have to repeat the ritual a lot. So a ritual can last several hours in Rouhaniyat. And it's very demanding. But of course, the results are always, always mind-blowing and very intense. The presence of jinns is incredible. And when jinn manifests something, they manifest it with great abundance.
Wow.
It's extreme, always.
That is so interesting. What they kind of parallel us. Do they can see us and we can't see them. Do they just kind of coexist with us? How do they feel about us in general?
Well, first, there is a very important notion in Rouhaniyat is that there are resident jinn, that is, jinn that lives in your place. So when you have a home and you do magic, you have to know that jinn might be present, and there is a very important practice in Rouhaniyat, which is the release of the resident. So basically, you recite a conjuration. When you ask the jinn present to leave, and you say that they are free to come back to this place once the ritual is done. So jinn can cohabit with humans to some degree, I believe. Mm. And jinn are very, I think that some jinn are ambivalent to us. There are jinn that don't be bothered by us. There are jinn that can be willing to offer some results in exchange of things. But as I said, jinns are very special. I mean, handling angels or demons seem easy to me, but jinns are more difficult in many, many aspects.
Yeah, I could see why, too. I mean, after talking to Nineveh and then you, and just even thinking on it and reflecting on the conversations, I sense that from them. I've never worked with them, but it's been interesting for me to explore and just think on, you know. But yeah, so they led you to this goddess and helped you out with this. I think that is just incredible in itself. When they helped you with some of the information, did you just suddenly start getting information? Did it just suddenly appear for you easily? What happened with the process?
Well, you have to note that I rely a lot on spirit to get information and ritual. So I did it with all kinds of entities, even angels and demons. So getting rituals from spirit is something I do a lot. But I found that magic from the jinn can be very, very intense and maybe more potent than others. That doesn't mean that other spirit doesn't have their value in it, because angels can, of course, give some very pure spiritual knowledge. Demons can grant some massive, powerful, practical, mundane powers. And jinn, they are willing to teach you with conditions. And when they do, I mean, I never got so much result with the teaching of this jinn in particular.
Because
he also gave me a blessing rituals. And I've tried these blessing rituals on volunteers to see what would happen. Some people had visions during the ritual, and after it, their life was just easier and filled with more opportunities or good events. So it was very, very interesting to know that. So as for the process of getting information from the jinn or even any spirit, the most common way is to evoke them and ask them directly, and you will listen to what they have to say. You try to connect with what they dictate to you, and you write down the whole ritual. So when it comes to this kind of process, you have to be fluent in conversation with spirits. This is something that we can work on it to get better at it. But I always have easy means of communication with spirits. Although it's only with evocation that I had the best result and the fluent communication.
Wow. Do you, when you have, you said you've done the whole thing where they appear in front of you, right? The evocation. Is that hard to get to? We hear about that in the groups a little bit. Did you have to work at that? I've heard that it's a process to get yourself to that point where you can summon something to appear in front of you.
Well, years ago, I found it very mysterious because when I was a beginner or intermediate, evocation seemed to me like an impossible act. And the work of David Rankin really helped to get to this point. So the thing is, when you want to evoke a spirit with the method that I use, you have to use divine names and have a form of divine authority where you really use conjurations, where you call a spirit using different aspects and name of God. And you have to pick and choose the right name of God to evoke the right spirit.
Okay.
For example, the Archangel Zadkiel is linked to the divine name Hal, and you have to use this name to have a better connection and have a visible manifestation with him. So it's in my practice, I know that there are other practices who do things differently, like in demonolatry practices. But in my traditions, it's really all about conjuration, divine names, and ordering the spirit to appear to get that presence. Because okay. I know that other practitioners do not use divine names. Some other practitioners more in left-hand path and that kind of practices do not use these methods. But I work with Golden Dawn magic. I work with Solomonic practices, Ruaniat, and this ceremonial or Arabic type of magic use a lot of divine names, and that's how I evoke my spirit.
In your personal practice, what do you prefer? What works for you the most when you go to what's your go-to magic? Do you like the Solomonic? Do you like to work with the djinn? Do you like to do a mix of it all? I'm kind of a chaos magician, so I take on what makes sense to me and I put it all together.
So it's very simple. When I have something very difficult or very important, or even something that I want in abundance, I have to go to the djinn.
Okay.
Because Ruaniat and djinn magic is really the most effective and powerful form of magic I know. And it's really thanks to Neville Shadrack that I got into it. I had other contact and other teacher that helped with getting knowledge in Arabic magic. But yes, djinn magic and even Ruaniat, because Ruaniat is not only about djinn magic, but Ruaniat in particular is the practice that gets me the most potent extreme results. And there are a few downsides because you can't do a Ruaniat ritual that easily. It can require some preparation, some fasting, some meditation. For example, there is a practice in Neva Shadak where you have to do a preparation work where you use 99 names for 99 days.
Oh, wow.
So the fact is, you can't use Ruaniat easily. This is a very demanding practice.
Yeah.
And rituals can last for several hours. And for djinn, for example, you're not supposed to evoke a djinn during daytime. So you have to do it at nighttime. And that's already a limit because you can do a ritual at any given time. And there are a lot of things to master with djinn. I mean, not only they are difficult to handle, but to evoke them, you have to use a conjuration, they would call them. And the Be'atia, for example, is one of the conjurations I use most. And these conjurations must be repeated a lot during a long time with names that you have to learn and to pronounce them. So it's very demanding, but it gets the best results in my practice. So I don't use this kind of magic for everything, but when something really serious or really difficult or when I need abundance in results, I call upon the djinn or I use other Ruaniat rituals. Because when a djinn or a ritual in Arabic magic manifests something, it manifests it with very, very a lot of abundance and extreme results.
I love hearing this. This is just so fascinating to me, and it's just such an area I've always been so curious about, but I just haven't dabbled in or anything because I've always felt like there is just a precision, like you said, in the pronunciations, and the names are not anything like we normally hear or anything, so you get really kind of worried about that pronunciation difference.
Well, a little bit more. Actually, I would like to say something because I do believe that pronunciation is important, but In Arabic magic, in Ruaniat, we have manuscripts that date from centuries and centuries ago. And if you compare the different manuscripts, you find out that the names are very often different.
Oh, so really?
The 28 names of the Beatia, if you find different manuscripts, you would find different versions of these names.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
But the pronunciation has to be in some way coherent with what you have to, with the version that you use.
Right. So I know people have asked over and over. I know you've seen it. So while we're on this subject, and since you and I are in some of the same groups together, everyone wants to know about the effectiveness of Corwin Hargrove's book. Do you feel it's effective? Do you think it's too simplistic? It's very easy to follow, but where do you think the realistic use of that book is? Do you think it's a good book or not?
Well, I think it has some interesting elements because I mentioned the Beatia previously, and Corwin Hargrove uses some names of the Beatia. And I have used his ritual opening with my own more traditional method, and it was pretty decent. It was effective, so I like it. But what I don't like with Corwin's method is that he said himself that it works half of the time, and if it works, it works really well. But when you use Ruaniat, it works much more often than half of the time. So I think that Corwin gave an interesting book, but it's not my type of magic. I know some people have used it with very effective results, with very good results. So it's good for them, and it shows that the book is effective. But I mean, if I have to use some words from the Beatia, I would use the full Beatia myself. I don't want to use a ritual opening where I would only use a few names. I prefer to work with the full Beatia and go into it with full effort.
I love hearing this. It makes me really kind of jazzed up to learn something a little bit deeper. You know, I mean, it's so easy to do these instant books, and there's so much more depth to all different kinds of magic that we've never even heard of, probably, as an average person. And it's really, really refreshing to talk to someone from our groups that we know that's done some of this djinn magic, and you're making these wonderful discoveries. Do you want to talk for just a couple minutes about how you personally inspire people? You're always helping, you're answering questions. What kind of advice do you have to people about doing their own research or finding paths of magic that maybe they want to focus on? You're really pretty well read on a lot of different magics.
So I think the best advice to someone who wants to perform magic is to choose one or several traditions. Because if you choose a tradition in particular, like Thelema, Golden Dawn, Solomonic Magic, or Dorum Solis, or something else, if you have one tradition that you like and correspond to what you want to do in magic, it really helps. Because if you find a tradition, you can get the books and the ritual of that said tradition, and you have an area of focus. And that leads to the next point, which is you became a specialist of something. Because if you focus on too many types of different magic, you don't master any of them. So if you only have one or several that's really correspond to what you want in your magic and what type of speech you want to call, then focusing on one single or several few traditions can make you an expert in several years if you are dedicated and practice every day. So it's really about finding the right tradition for you and trying to specialize in it.
That is excellent advice. There's just so much to choose from. People don't know what directions to go. So yeah, I mean, I've kind of narrowed a little bit of my practice down for that reason. It's like, I would rather get kind of good at one thing rather than just kind of know about a whole bunch of things. You don't really get good at anything. So yeah, excellent. What's some resources people could look for besides just our basic Gallery of Magic books? Are there groups or books that you find particularly helpful to like dive into different traditions that you feel maybe someone could use as a starting point? Hey, start here. Maybe you'll discover other magics this way, but this is a good book to get your feet wet with some depth. A lot of people are kind of restricted to books nowadays.
So for Ruaniat, it's mandatory to know about Neva Shadrach, because He wrote a lot of things, and most of what is known in the Wanyat is thanks to him. So yeah, Nineveh Shadrach is one of my main source.
His website has resources for all of his courses, and he's got books out and all sorts of stuff. And he knows his planetary and everything. So
yes.
Yeah, he would be a good source. Thank you. What else do you want to talk about? Anything?
Well, maybe we can chat a little bit about the group, because when I started this group, Gallery of Magic Discussion Experimentations, I wanted to provide a safe place for people to experiment and do magic. And I see that several years later, we have helped and give importance to a few people that became authors and who put out some really nice things. I'm thinking about Tristan Rispe, Jarvis Tempest. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud that we did all those experiments and that we produced something. And that group is really important to me because it was years ago, it was 2017, I believe I created it. And I think that we did a lot of important things, a lot of experiments that help our group's authors to really get somewhere.
Yep.
And it's really important to me to see that we did something, because one of my goals in life is to improve magical knowledge. So I myself
have. I will say that you don't even know this, but Tim and I have been conducting our own experiments, and we share notes all the time. We're fine-tuning our own magic, and we're taking some stuff in a totally different direction just because of that group. So you do influence people in a very positive way. So you have.
Thank you.
Very much. So yeah, you've led a lot of people into all kinds of directions of knowledge, really, just by opening that group. So people are...
It's a collective effort, because many talented people joined this group and helped. So it's really about the collective effort, the way that we all participated to this experiment, to this group rituals, to this rating. So all of us, we have our merit in really helping all this content to have taken off and really influence the magical community.
Well, and it's kind of nice now that we're a few years into it, you're starting to see people's growth. You're seeing people, you know, come in as absolute beginners and then seeing them accomplish stuff. You've got to feel really proud of some of these people, you know, watching them on their own paths. It's got to be really kind of cool for you.
Yeah, it's an adventure because, as I said, I never done magic alone. I was never alone in magic, because I started with a few friends in high school 10 years ago, and practicing alone, doing my thing alone, was never a good idea to me, because I have to share it. I have to teach, to give people some content, experiment, debate with them. And it's really important to me to do it with many people as a collective adventure. And if I was alone in this, I would have gone mad long ago.
Well, I tell you what, everyone sure appreciates you in the groups, and you're always bringing positive energy. You're always very kind, and you're, oh my gosh, patient with people beyond patience. You have the patience of a saint with people when you explain things, and you're amazing. You're really amazing. Would you come back on the show, and maybe we'll get Nineveh on here, and maybe we'll have a round table or something?
Well, there are other things that are very important in magical practice currently. So of course I can come on the show once again and can discuss that.
Okay. And do you have, I know that you have talked about, do you have any books out? Or do you have some references or a website or anything that I can put on my website for people?
So I have authored a short book called The Planetary Talismans under my name, Arnaud Vincent. And this book is actually free. I wrote it to share a small system of planetary magic. And I have a website, arnaudvincent.com. There is I don't know how to say it in English. You will edit that. But
you can send me the links, and I'll put them on my website. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Let's get your link to your book and to your website, and then people can check that out.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, you have been so much fun. All right, let's wrap things up and then we'll just have you back on. We'll leave people waiting for more. How's that sound?
Perfect.
All right, so hey, this has been so much fun hanging out with you here in Paris. The wine has been just delicious and this cheese and French bread has been wonderful to munch on. And then, of course, the conversation. Thank you for being on the podcast. Do you want to do the benediction with me?
Yes.
Okay. So everyone, you know the drill. Keep a smile on your face. Keep a bounce in your step. Keep practicing your magic. And by all means, reach out and connect with all the other people that are going to lift you up and help you with your spiritual practice and your magical practice and ask questions and share and experiment, of course. And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, have fun. This is wonderful.
It's perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for sticking around after the show. Oh my gosh, so many changes and so many things to tell all of you about. We are officially in rerun mode. What does that mean for you? Well, hey, if you listen on your favorite podcast app, nothing is going to change. You will always be able to go back and listen to your favorite episodes and guest spots anytime you want, just as you always have. Again, nothing will change for those of you that use your favorite podcast app. Next, the website will change a little bit. It will change to www.podpage.com/random-illusions, or you can listen directly off the host site, www.randomillusions.buzzsprout.com. Links are now in every episode show notes. Check it out. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/GOST Radio. twitter.com/GOST Radio. If you love YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the Random Illusions Podcast YouTube channel, the GOST Radio YouTube channel, and TikTok. Don't forget to follow us there. Links are down in the show notes. Exclusively for the listener base of Random Illusions, Tim and I are going to continue our coffee.com divinations. Just let us know if you want a rune reading by Tim or a tarot reading by Shasta and what your question is. Give us about 2 business days and we will respond with a thorough answer to your question, giving you some insight and maybe a little inspiration as well. If you would like to follow Tim and I as we jump into our new leadership roles and all of the new projects we are presenting and working on, don't forget to hit us up. Facebook, privately, Tim Cheesebrow, Shasta Michaels, Random Illusions, or just shoot us an email at magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, at randomillusions.com, and we will send you links as to where you can keep tabs on all of our future endeavors and adventures. And hey, you may want to get involved yourself. You never know. All right, keep your eyes and ears peeled. We will be announcing when we will be back. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.